I don't know, you just get a sense this morning that there's something that God wants to do, just to kind of bring life again and bring wind into the sails. You know, as a church, we've kind of gone through some things, and together and individually, we've gone through some pretty rough things. But I think God wants us to take our eyes off of our feet and kind of, again, look to Him. We just kind of get into a place where it's kind of a funk, and you just, that's all you can see, is you can just see what's going on down on the ground, and you kind of forget about our King who loves us and walks with us. I hope that today, as things are shared, we kind of get an idea of the amazingness of God and his character, and what he wants us to see as we go through these days ahead. I just want to encourage us this morning to look at Jesus and to see him. I don't want to talk too long. It's, I don't know, not much of a speaker. And again, like it'll get Matt to fall asleep and imagine that his Oilers team can actually play hockey. Now, as we go through these days with everyone, each and every single one of us has our own load to carry. You just heard today with Mike sharing about picking up your cross. That really is what it is. But there's a joy to that. God doesn't want you to just feel the weight of the change that he brings through relationship with him, but he wants to bring you to somewhere that's a lot more amazing. So we hold on to the promises that we have. I find that if we're standing on a platform somewhere where we're kind of looking down at things, and we look at the valley of our lives, there's no advantage to that. It's only discouragement. And what I want to share today is not to bring you out of a valley, but to have you walk through the valley just as God would, but to hold on to the hope and to the joy that's ahead of us. That's ahead of us. And it's the promise. It's that's what brings us through. That's what the wind is for, to get you through the seasons of your lives. I think it's amazing that we can be together. There's something about togetherness. In terms of relationship with God, we're together with God, God with us. So I hope that our faith can be increased and we can be strengthened. I want to share about the fruit of the Spirit, one in particular. Today, we read in Galatians 5 that there are 9 fruits of the Spirit of God, characteristics that flow from a life that are produced by a life that's following God. They're love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What I find amazing about these is that they're all linked. They can't be separated. Each and every one of those, because God is complete, he's not separated from himself in one area. He's not love today, joy tomorrow, peace the next day. It's they can't be separated because of who God is. That's who he is. It's an intrinsical part of who God is. Like, if you look at me, I have an arm. I have another arm and a leg. They're not separated. My arm is not outside somewhere. But they're together. And for us, we can't, as Christians, as believers, as followers of Christ, disciples of Christ, we can't pick and choose which ones we want to use or which ones that we want to be produced. Because if you're living by the Spirit of God, all those things are produced in your life in increasing measure. And that's beautiful. That's what we want. We want love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in each and every moment of our lives. And it's a struggle. I can tell you for myself that I'm not always loving. I'm not always joyful. I'm not always at peace. Not always patient. And my family is the first to feel the wrath of that, right? And it's challenging. We were at the anchor on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, and Randy said something interesting that kind of stuck inside my mind, and I've been thinking about it. I can't remember the context of it, but I'll tell you the phrase that he used. He said, it's simple, but it's not easy. The Christianity is simple, but it's not easy. The thing about Jesus dying on the cross, the way the world looks at it, is foolishness. Why would somebody die for each and every single one of us? I've been thinking this week, would I do that for somebody in a moment of heat where something absolutely crazy is going on, when you're in the middle of a battle or somebody's robbing a grocery store? Would I risk my life in a moment like that? That's what Jesus had done. That's what Jesus did for us. I want to focus on joy. I think there's something about joy that really brings us through the seasons, through our lives. In joy, there's victory. When we're rejoicing at the beginning of a battle, when we're rejoicing in our King and what He's done for us, that's what sustains us. That's what brings us through. I want to read through Nehemiah 8 verse 10. It says, "Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And then later on in chapter 12, verse 43, it says, "And they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away." I find those passages amazing because it kind of speaks of joy and where it comes from. Joy has an origin. It has a starting point. It has a place where it's sent out. And that's from the Lord. "For the joy of the Lord. And for God made them rejoice with great joy." In Nehemiah 8:10, if you read on to verse 12, if you read through it, you see that the people, they were told, again, not to grieve. But if you read before that, you see that when the wall was rebuilt in Nehemiah, after the wall was built, the law of Moses was read to them. Now, the law of Moses, the law of God, is a heavy thing. But they understood what was read to them, and they grieved, because they knew that they couldn't live up to what was spoken. So the weight of what was spoken to them grieved them. But then they were told to rejoice. I know if the law of Moses was read to me, if any kind of law is read to me, I feel pretty heavy. It's something that doesn't bode well with my flesh, because it kind of shows me where I'm off. I kind of want to skip ahead a little bit. Thank the Father for sending the Son. The first trait of God, and you read it, God is love. In the list of the fruits, love comes first. We read faith, hope, and love. What is the greatest? Love. God is love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." I can tell you, I can find some pretty good joyful things in that. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." We rejoice at good news. We're happy. We're full of gladness. We're hopeful. I know when I hear good news, I'm happy. The kids, last week, Neil brought us around the school to show us the renovations in the daycare. And I think it was just Lynn mentioned something about we have windows that open. The kids, they cheered. They said, "Yay!" They're happy. Good news. Windows that open. Light can come through. I think we get into a place where we kind of close the windows, we board them up, and we draw the curtains, and it's dark. And we get stuck there. What I love about spring is that you can open up the windows and you can let the air flow through your house and you get that freshness. When you see the buds growing on the trees, you know that spring is coming. And you hope that in this next season, those trees, they're going to flourish and they're going to produce some pretty good fruit. I love this aspect. In Romans 5, verse 8 through 11, and this gives me hope. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. That's more good news to be joyful about, to rejoice. We've been reconciled to God. Our flesh can't stand in the presence of God. But now we've been reconciled because of what Jesus has done. A way has been made that we can be right standing with God. That's through Jesus Christ. It's where we put our hope in Jesus Christ. If we're not rejoicing, what are we doing? We're pouting. I pout all the time. If we're not joyful, what are we? Sad. I can say this for myself, and I think for many people, that no one wants to go into a cold, sterile place, a place full of dinginess and mopey people. God calls us when we're mopey, but he wants to bring us somewhere, bring us into something. What I love about church, not the building, but in terms of people, for me, I was drawn into the kingdom because of happy people, joyful people, people who put their hope in Jesus and who collectively loved each other. I was drawn into that. I was pulled into that. I couldn't help it. I was at home and taking a nap on the couch. I was living with my dad, and I kind of got tricked into something. I woke up from my nap and got up on the couch and felt pretty groggy. And then my dad was like, "Do you want to come with us? We're going to a barbecue." And so I was like, "All right, sure." Wasn't saved. Love to party, just do everything by myself, and just living for myself. And it was, anyways. So I went, and I kind of got to this place. It was at Vince and Julie Courtney's place, and stood at the entrance of the fence and just kind of stood there looking around, and I knew these are church people. I knew it. But there's something different. The picture that I got from church people when I was younger was religious. You do this or else. Got there. Caleb Courtney walks up to me, introduces himself, and kind of looking at him and unsure. But he was open. He was accepting. And kind of went around the circle where everyone was sitting and was introduced by Caleb to them, and that's where it went. I was pulled in. I had no choice. We don't want to come into the kingdom when people are standing at the entrance saying, "I want to come into the kingdom," and just sad and mopey and all your dreams will come true. And just sad. No. There's something joyful about coming into the kingdom that just sets people free. There's freedom and there's joy in that. When we're walking down the street, we should rejoice, just like the song, yell it from the rooftop or the mountaintop. I can't remember which one it was. But anyways, that's what draws people in, is the joyfulness. It was the joy of Jerusalem that was heard far away. There's a declaration in what God has done and what he's doing and what he will do that we declare. And we declare it because it says it was heard far away. Who heard them? It wasn't the foxes. It was people. It was their neighbors. It was the people around their community. For us, it's those who don't believe in Jesus. That's our neighbor. We rejoice in it. We put our hope in it, and we put our hope and our joy in the promises that are set before us. There's the good news of the kingdom and the relationship with the Father, the Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that brings us to life. This is what people are drawn to. That's the gospel. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And I love it when it kind of repeats itself in the scriptures, because I know for me, if I read something through and I'm just reading it through, I'll miss it. But if I read it once and then it's said again in the same sentence and then somewhere along the lines in the same chapter or whatever, it's said again. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's relationship with God in the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, they can't be manufactured or conjured up on a human level. I know for myself, if I put my hope in people or in economy or my work, anything else, and I know if Christina puts her hope in me, or if I put my hope in the church, it doesn't go very far. It can't be conjured up. You got to be in relationship with God continually. It's like building on sand. If you're building a relationship on a human level, it's like building on sand. The fruits of the Spirit, they shine through a life that's lived in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And it's worked out by the Holy Spirit. And we're daily transformed into the likeness of Christ. And that's difficult. Because I know for myself, with my flesh, I can be so selfish. I'm not putting weight on anybody, but this is the process. And it's a beautiful process. Because God is raising a church. He's building a church without spot, without blemish. I know when Jesus looks at his bride, he sees something beautiful. When I look at Christina, I see something beautiful. I'm far from perfect. The church worldwide is far from perfect. But we're the body of Christ. We're the bride to the bridegroom. Jesus has joy in that. I remember watching Christina walk down the aisle. So much joy. The anticipation of a bride. The love of my life. I have a short life, but there's joy in that. Jesus Christ from eternity sees his church and loves it. There's joy in watching the bride walk down the aisle, and the Father gives the bride away. Watching Neil give Christina to me was something amazing. Father God does the same thing with Jesus. The bride walks down the aisle. The Father gives the bride to Jesus. I think in many ways we have an identity crisis these days, especially as the church. We kind of get through these things where we kind of we We stop looking to Jesus. And that's what I love about banners. No agenda but Jesus. I love things that declare things, because that is how we are. We love declarations. We love hearing stories about good things. We watch movies on them. We listen to music. We read books. We love seeing it in other people. We see all these things in God. When we read the scriptures, we see the amazingness of who God is. These are things that we declare. We declare the love. We declare the joy. We declare the peace, and so on. We're sons and daughters, each and every one of us. I think God wants to deposit things into our hearts today. I know that when we're walking through the valley, it's hard. It's difficult. You don't know when it's going to end. You don't know when the seasons of life are going to change. You can't see it. You can't watch it the way that winter comes or spring comes or summer or fall. We got an almanac that shows those things for the seasons. We don't have an almanac for our lives. What we have is a relationship with God that brings us through each and every single day of our lives, each and every moment of our life, individually and as a church, together. That's why it's so important to read the scriptures, to praise God. Because it's in these things, the word of God that washes you, the rejoicing that brings the victory, moment by moment. Step by step, God wants you to be free. Jesus wants you to be free. Wherever you are at in your life, wherever you're at with your walk of God, put your trust and your hope in Him. I just want to share out of this book. It's a really good book. It's by Michael Eaton, Everlasting Assurance. He preaches through Romans 8. And I just want to read, quote him in what he shared here, just in what we see ahead. There was a time when Moses was allowed to see the promised land. God took him to the top of a mountain called Nebo and gave him a magnificent view of the land that was about to be given to Israel. Moses was not in Israel, but he was allowed to see it from afar. Michael Eaton lives in Kenya, so in Kenya, I sometimes have occasion to drive to the East African coast. As I do so, I can see in the distance Mount Kilimanjaro, the highest mountain on the African continent. Now, Mount Kilimanjaro is not in Kenya, it is in Tanzania. But from the country where I stay, I can see it. This is the position of the Christian. We are not in glory yet, but we can see it over the border. The heavenly mountains of glory. They look quite clear. They are wonderful. We know that we shall soon be there, radiating with love and holiness that the Lord has worked into our lives. We can see the mountains of glory already. There's a land that is fairer than day. Of faith, we can see it afar. It's what kept Jesus going. Because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. We live in the same way, enjoying the prospect, the joy that is set before us. Light after darkness, gain after loss, strength after weakness, crown after cross, sweet after bitter, hope after fears, home after wandering, praise after tears, sheaves after sowing, sun after rain, sight after mystery, peace after pain, joy after sorrow, freed from a cage, rest after weariness, calm after rage, near after distant, gleam beyond gloom, love after loneliness, life after tomb. After long troubles, sharing his shame, now weight of glory, inheritance gained. Exclamation point. We're sons and daughters. We are the church. We have joy. We have peace. First of that, we have love. These are the things that we hope for. These are the things that we rejoice in. I hope today that we can be equipped in some way. Because I don't know what you guys are going through, but I know that God knows, and He is with you. And He has great things for you. Put your trust in Jesus. Rejoice in Jesus. You know, whenever I see Liam, there's always joy. I know whether it's because of his smile or his perfect hair, but there's always a joy. It's the hair, yeah. There's something amazing about seeing each other. We're all rascals. Erwin especially. There's a joy that springs up in our hearts when we see each other. There's an encouragement. There's a lifting of each other, a bearing with each other, and there's joy in that, saying, come on, we've got a short way to go. There's a doorway that's opened. The way of the world is like climbing this wall. You don't have anything to grab onto. But the way to the kingdom door is open. That's through Jesus Christ. Now, whether you believe in Him or not, He's real. And there's joy in that, because for God so loved the world. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.